Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, just to add on to that, again, be careful on the roads. I have been on the roads this morning. It is not advisable. These roads are snow-covered, ice-covered everywhere, and I mean every part of St. Louis right now. So just use extra caution. If you happen to be on the road right now and you're listening, please, as you get to your destination, go as slow as you possibly can. Let's not spin out. Thank goodness that this was on a Sunday and not a Monday with rush hour traffic and everybody coming back from the holiday. That would have been a mess. So it's Sunday. Unless you absolutely must be out, please stay in and enjoy sports on a Sunday morning and everything else that we have to offer on the show today. We have John Mozeliak coming at 11:30, and we have Bernie Miklas at 11:45, and much more in between, including some football picks. And let's get to that right now.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
The great offensive lineman Tom Ackerman right there for the Tennessee Titans. And we thank everybody for joining us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. It's our final regular season week of NFL picks. Then we'll get into the playoffs. This is a tricky week always. This is why fantasy leagues are done. If your fantasy team is still playing, you're in the wrong league. They should never have a game in Week 18 ever, because most of these games are featuring backups, kind of like the preseason. But there are still lines out there, and there's still action, and we are going to take advantage. By the way, while I have you, you know what's fun to play? Underdog. That Underdog app's the real deal. I won and lost. I mean, I probably should have been smarter with some of my picks, but I took a little gamble a little earlier. But anyway, that Underdog app is awesome, and use promo code Tom when you use it. But let me get to the picks. Carolina at Atlanta, that is going on today at noon. Atlanta needs it. They're trying to win the NFC South. They are a game behind Tampa Bay in the standings. Neither team has clinched. Atlanta is a 9-point favorite in this one. I will take them -9. Washington at Dallas, two teams that don't need it. Washington's already in the playoffs. Dallas is out. The Commanders are a 6.5-point favorite at Dallas, and I'm going to take them. If it was over 7, I probably wouldn't. 6.5, I could see them winning by a touchdown. Dallas is not very good, and I'd be very curious what the future holds for that coaching staff and Coach Mike McCarthy. Chicago at Green Bay, always a rivalry. Bears are 4-12. Green Bay is in the playoffs, a 10-point favorite at Lambeau. I think 10's too many. Bears, as bad as they are, play with some pride and keep this close. Chicago plus 10. Houston at Tennessee, a 2.5-point favorite are the Titans. I'll go ahead and take them at home, -2.5. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Boy, the Colts were disappointing this year. I thought they'd be a possible playoff team. 3.5-point favorite at home against the Jaguars. I will take them, however, -3.5. Buffalo at New England. The Bills are in. They have clinched the number 2 seed in the AFC. Therefore, the spread is pretty slim. It's 3. The Patriots are a 3-point dog at home against the Bills. I'm still going to take Buffalo -3. Giants at Philadelphia. Boy, the Giants are just horrendous, Drew. I'm sorry about that. That's your team. Eagles just a 3-point favorite. And Drew, I'm going to do you a favor. I like Giants +3 today because the Eagles are going to take all of their time off. They don't need this game like Minnesota and Detroit do. We'll get to it in just a moment. New Orleans and Tampa Bay. The Bucs at 9-7. A 14.5-point favorite at home against the Saints. That hook, that half point is a tough one to swallow, I gotta say. But I'm going to do it anyway because the Saints have been, you talk about horrendous, holy smokes. They got annihilated 34-0 at Green Bay, and then the Raiders beat them 25-10. Jeez. Go with Tampa Bay minus 14.5. I hate that spread, though. Kansas City and Denver. So this is the interesting one because the Denver Broncos need to win to make the playoffs, and the Bengals are hoping that the Chiefs can figure out a way to beat them. They also need the Dolphins to lose to the Jets for the Bengals to get in. The Broncos are 11.5-point favorites at home against the Chiefs today, with the Chiefs resting Patrick Mahomes and others. I'm going to go Chiefs plus 11.5, just for fun. Okay? Chargers at Vegas. Chargers are in, and they look awfully good. But again, this is basically rest time for these teams. Vegas, a 6.5-point dog at home against the Chargers. I'm going to go Chargers minus 6.5. I don't really think Vegas is any good at 4-12. Seattle at the Rams. You know what I love about this one? You know who's playing for the Rams today? Cody Schrader. Mm-hmm. That Cody Schrader. I'm fired up for the St. Louis Kid, for the Missouri Tiger. And the Rams are 7.5-point dogs today against Seattle. Rams don't need the game. Seattle's out anyway. I'm going to go Rams plus 7.5. Miami at the Jets is a pick'em. Give me Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets. Come on, Jets. I'm rooting for the Bengals, if you didn't know. To get in, because I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. San Francisco at Arizona. Arizona, a 4.5-point favorite. I really don't like these games because they don't mean anything, you know? I mean, how are you supposed to pick them? But we do our best around here, and that's why there's a spread. And I will take the 49ers plus 4.5. And then the showdown tonight. Minnesota at Detroit. Now, Minnesota is a 2.5-point underdog in this one. Minnesota has won 9 in a row. The Lions need it. And I was very impressed with the Lions' win over the 49ers. How good they looked. How banged up they are. They are a mess right now. But they're finding ways, and they're still 14-2. And they still have a high-powered offense. I think this is a back-and-forth game. I think it is going to be highly entertaining. And the reason they're even favored is because they're playing at home. You get that automatic 3 points, really, in terms of spread when you're playing at home. But Minnesota is the better team top to bottom and is playing well. That said, give me Lions minus 2.5 to find a little extra magic, win the home game in front of a raucous crowd, and get that number one seed in the NFC. I don't see them advancing the Super Bowl, even though I picked them to do so. But we'll see. I'll take Detroit minus 2.5. We'll roll with it. Have some fun. College football playoff picks. Before we hear from Scott Jago, who's going to come back in studio, Drew, make sure that he is, I know he knows that, but he's coming back for a weather update here momentarily. Here are my college football playoff picks. You ready? Here we go. College football playoff picks coming. They are Notre Dame minus 2 against Penn State in the Orange Bowl. Give me the Irish all day. I don't think they're going to lose this game. In fact, I think they're going to win this by a touchdown, maybe more. They are playing out of their minds as good as Penn State is. I like Notre Dame minus 2 in this game. I had them beating Georgia. I have them beating Penn State. Ohio State minus 6, thank goodness for that. If it was 7, I would hate it. 6, I'll take. Ohio State by a touchdown. Give me Ohio State minus 6 against Texas as those two teams hook up in the Cotton Bowl for the right to get to the national championship. It's 11:15. We'll have much more coming up. Right now, a weather update from Scott Jago.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We are in the studio. It's nice and warm in here. It is frigid outside, yeah, just over my right shoulder, and some folks might be able to see that. I'll turn the camera here. You can't. It's just sort of blinding light. But, yeah, it's white as as snow can be. It is just coming down and not too heavy right now downtown, but it was a little earlier, and it is just, you know, icy and frigid and not a great place to be driving. So just be careful today. Reading some comments off of our live stream. A lot of people might not know that we have that live stream going. As you can see, those of you watching right now on YouTube, Facebook, X, wherever you may be watching, we have a good one going, and Drew Young sets it up just like he sets up the Gas House Gang every day during the week at noon. These live streams are fun. We get comments along the way. Peter Nydorf, God bless you, Peter. Good to hear from you. He said, I'm not driving anywhere today or Monday morning. Be safe and well. You too, Peter. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Kelly said, man, Tom, great day for Illini basketball. Be safe. You too, Kelly. And I really like this Illinois team. I talked about them earlier in the show. I talked about them this morning with Scott Jagow. This team playing Washington today is legit. They went out and smoked Oregon. I don't know if a lot of people saw that because it was a late game, 9 o'clock tip. That team is the real deal, man. Josh, good morning to you. Josh Betts checking in from Northern Iowa territory. I bet it's frigid up there right now. What about William? So William says, KMOX does not broadcast Mizzou games, but their coaches are regular guests. Why are the Illinois coaches not afforded the opportunity to speak on the show? William, I appreciate the comment on YouTube. Let me correct a few things. We don't have Mizzou's coaches on a regular basis. We have Eli Drinkwitz twice a season. I had him twice during the football season. I have not had Dennis Gates on the show. I like Dennis Gates, but we mostly do SLU. So we are a SLU partner. So they are on every show at 10:30 is SLU's time slot. And Josh Schertz more often than not has that to himself at 10:30. And we appreciate them as a broadcast partner. So we will always have Josh Schertz in that spot, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri, as you know. But the Illinois coaches, Brad Underwood was on Chris and Amy, if I'm not mistaken, before the Bragging Rights game. I have had Brian Bardhart, the play-by-play voice of Illinois, on the show routinely, especially after big wins or prior to big games. I really like Underwood. Brett Bielema, I don't know as well, but I appreciate him and respect what they've been able to do. I have nothing against Illinois at all. And as a matter of fact, I go back to Bruce Weber is still a friend, and we were very close during those times. I would go to Illinois and cover games and enjoyed the heck out of going to Assembly Hall, now the State Farm Center. I am curious, though, you know, Illinois coverage does not get, and it's a legitimate beef by Illinois fans, it does not get equal coverage as Mizzou in this town. In fact, the Post-Dispatch, and I love the Post-Dispatch, I read it every day. I'm a newspaper hound. But they don't have an Illinois beat writer anymore. And, you know, their Illinois stories get pushed back to pages 5, 6, and 7. And it's not, it's just a reality. Mizzou gets, they have a beat writer for Mizzou. He's very good, Eli Hoff. Their columns focus mostly on Mizzou, sometimes on SLU. But Mizzou gets pretty heavy coverage, and so does SLU. They both have beat writers. I don't know why that is. You know, why don't we do more Illinois? I include them in all of my scoreboard updates. But I think it's a legitimate criticism by Illinois fans. We were talking about an upper-level Big Ten team that should get more attention. So I will take that into consideration, William, and I will start, especially now that we're in the heart of college basketball season, spending more time with Illinois guests. And if we can get Underwood to come on a regular basis, I would like to do that. It's harder during baseball football season because we have baseball going. We got Ollie Marmol. We've got, you know, the Blues do something on our show every week. We have, you know, Battle Hawks will get going here. There's a lot of stuff you're throwing together all at once, but Illinois should still be prominently placed, and we will find a spot for them. Typically, we have Bernie Miklas at 11:45, John Mozeliak at 11:30. 11:15 is Lutz Pfannenstiel during most of the year because city season is so long. 10:45 is Blues. 10:30 is Schertz or SLU, and 10:15 is whatever we want it to be, usually a headliner. That's where we could put Illinois. We could also, you know, we have Ollie Marmol there during baseball season. And occasionally we have a Cardinals guest at 10:15. So I just want to let you know kind of how we do those things. 52 days till spring training, says TP. Thank you very much for that comment. There was another one. Oh, Kevin. Kevin says, silly, question mark. I guess it is. I think he's saying, I guess it is. In the past several ye, St. Louis Blues, St. Louis Cardinals, and SLU have stunk. I think Kevin was typing a little fast there. Kevin's referring to me saying that the question from Craig on Twitter earlier, asking me to ask John Mozeliak, all these things, and being very negative towards Mozeliak, just didn't seem like the professional appropriate line of questioning that we're going to ask Mo here coming up. I thought it was kind of a silly line of questioning. What isn't silly is passion for the team. I mean, everybody understands that the Cardinals were not good enough. They were really not good in 23. And last year, they weren't near what the expectations were. So, you know, they recognize that. They heard the fans loud and clear, and they are resetting what they're doing. And it's a relief to some. It's too late for a lot of people, and people are frustrated. And I understand that. I totally get that. You know, it's not enough. The Cardinals have set the standard. They've won 11 world championships. So here they go, trying to repair this thing. And I do believe they'll be back to being the machine that they once were in their farm system once they repair all of this and get back to streamlining these young players to success. I believe they will get there. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get a weather update from Scott Jagow as this winter storm bears down on us. And then John Mozeliak himself is going to join us back in his 11:30 time slot. We're very happy he's back. We're going to talk to the president of baseball operations next, Bernie Miklas, at 11:45. Don't go anywhere. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX.
Tom Ackerman.
Scott, thank you very much for that update. Welcome back, downtown St. Louis. It is frigid, snowy, and icy down here. Be careful out there. We're joined by the Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. Hope you're safe and secure wherever you are, sir. How are you?
I'm well. I'm here in St. Louis, thinking about 6 weeks from now, being in Jupiter, having warm thoughts.
That's right. Absolutely. Can't wait to get things going down there. What do you think of your team? I mean, obviously, there are still some things that you could be doing here in the next 6 weeks. But when you foresee your roster, what kind of a team do you have for Jupiter?
Well, I still think we got to remind ourselves there is plenty of offseason left. I think 15, 20 years ago, you tried to have everything completed before the holidays. I think where the game's moved, where the industry's moved, is January is still a very important part of your offseason. So have to keep reminding everyone, a lot of time left to see what this roster is going to shake out. But on a very high level, I think it's about creating opportunity for some of these young players and see really what we have. And, time will tell what we really look like over the next 6 weeks, but then you also have 6 weeks of spring training. So, you add it all up, it's 3 months before opening day, really, and hopefully we end up having a product we're excited about.
A lot of focus on those young players is on Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, and we'll get to them in just a minute. But I also think about Lars Nootbaar, and not that he hasn't gotten an opportunity, but the injury bug really has gotten him and hasn't allowed him to have a full season. What I haven't really asked you about Lars in a while. What do you think when you see Lars Nootbaar in 2025?
Yeah, I think internally we discuss this a lot as well, because obviously we do believe he's a very talented player. But one of the things that we've always talked about, even on this show, is the ability to go pole to pole. I think a lot of times we focus on starting pitchers and the ability to make 30 starts, but there's also that ability to play in 150 games and be someone that you can count on a regular basis. And I think that's something that Lars really has to focus on, figuring out a way to keep his body healthy, a way to keep himself on the field. And then there's the performance factor as well, right? In the sense of if you get that opportunity, what do you do with it? And so I think for him, that's definitely a big question mark in terms of what his career arc will ultimately look like. But, just the surface level, I really do believe he's got the talent to be a special player in this league.
And when it comes to Jordan Walker, we've discussed him at length. My understanding is that he's been working, as Nolan Gorman has as well, very hard this offseason. Brant Brown, we had Ollie Marmol on the show, said Brant Brown's been down there working with those guys. Some good indications here so far?
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't had a lot of updates over the holiday break, but I will say that the guys that we want doing things are doing things. And I think that's good news. And We do have a handful of players that have been utilizing our Jupiter complex, which is great. You know, January 2nd, we reopened it. But in terms of getting people down there, I think anybody that reports early will benefit from that. And hopefully everybody's taking advantage of it. But I definitely agree that Gorman, Walker, you know, there's a lot online this year in terms of making those adjustments and being able to go out and produce day in and day out.
And not to get too sidetracked here, but talking about this Jupiter complex, this is it, right? You're still on track to start your full-scale renovations at the end of this spring training?
Yeah, that's correct. I was down there for a few days a couple weeks ago, and, you know, right now the outfield wall that is being installed is going to be a little shorter for hitters in the gaps, because we're going to move the bullpens to the outside of the outfield wall. And so those changes are underway. I'm hopeful those will be completed here in the next month. But then the major renovation begins really right around April 4th.
And all that internal space, the complex, the cages, the offices, everything gets a lift, right? The clubhouse, everything.
Everything. So there'll be a new performance center that will be built. There'll be a new batting cage that will be built. Of course, by doing so, that frees up some space other places. So we'll have more meeting space. I think the coaches will appreciate that. And I also feel like, you know, have a commercial-grade kitchen installed there. So we can eliminate the food truck in the future.
Yeah, the food truck has been a hit. But no doubt about it, the nutrition and performance are a big part of what you do. John Mozeliak hasn't been with us for the last few weeks. You and I were in agreement. You know, it's good to take some time off during the holidays. But I also thought that the market wouldn't necessarily move quickly through the holidays. And it turned out to be true. As you said, January becomes very important. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Nolan Arenado. You did say during the winter meetings your intention was to move him. And just, is there anything that you can share about how things are going just overall, about his market, about the trade market in general?
You know, not really. I guess the update would be it's been very quiet. You know, obviously, if we have the ability to find him a place that he desires, that's something we're going to try to do. But, you know, if not, then he'll have to be a part of our club moving forward. And I think he understands that. You know, I think, again, we have a lot of time left. We'll see how things shake out over the next 3 to 6 weeks. But a lot of time, and just have to remind ourselves that there is that time.
Do you have a desire, let's say, I mean, I don't want to speak in absolutes here, but I know that if something didn't come to fruition there, you still are in the mode of reducing salary. Would that be accurate to say? Would you be looking at all options in terms of trying to move some salary?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we've already reduced our payroll to some level. And as we look forward, we'll continue to see what we could possibly do that. But, you know, trying to balance that with also trying to still be competitive is, you know, that's the chore.
Sure. I know a lot of people are asking me about Roki Sasaki. They're asking me about all kinds of players. I got to remind folks that, you know, when it comes to John Mozeliak, we do not talk about free agents, so we don't talk about any of that kind of stuff. But I know I'm getting a lot of questions. That is fair to say, right? If you're looking at any free agent additions or anything like that on the outside, you're not able to tell us about that.
That's correct. And it's not a Mo rule. It's just a league rule.
Yeah, it is.
Now, a lot of things you guys read about or hear about are simply just generated rumors that can come. Now, could teams strategically place something out there from time to time? I'm sure that's true. But ultimately, having commenting on free agencies or trades historically is not in our best interest.
No, you can't do that. Of course, we understand that. But I do like to reiterate that to the fan base, of course. And, you know, you have, I think when it comes to pitching, some very interesting names out there. I mean, I know I talk a lot about the position players, and we do as well when it comes to pathways, but I'm very curious about McGreevy, Graceffo, heck, Quinn Matthews, and what their future holds in terms of rotation and beyond, not to mention Matthew Liberatore, who seems to have a pretty decent pathway coming his way when it comes to the bullpen. It's interesting.
It is. I definitely feel like McGreevy, the way he pitched when he was in the big leagues was very eye-opening. I think it reflected the success he was having at AAA. I think some of the adjustments he's making against left-hand hitters was something that's been impressive. So I do feel like his time to get that opportunity at the big leagues is coming. And so hopefully we can find a place for him, whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen, but certainly has earned an opportunity to pitch in the big leagues. You mentioned Livator. Obviously, he's an exciting arm. He did a really good job for us out of the bullpen. I could imagine he could either see himself in the rotation, so he'll definitely get stretched out in camp. But I could also imagine seeing him as someone that could have an impactful role in the bullpen. So I think time will tell on him. The good news is you know, he's got an electric arm, and he's shown to be pretty resilient. So either way, how he's used, I think he's going to have a very important role for the Cardinals in 2025. And then somebody like a Graceffo, obviously, I think it was sort of an up and down year for him, both AAA to big leagues and back. But I also think from a performance standpoint, there were times where he looked brilliant and other times it was just inconsistent. So it wouldn't shock me to see him maybe have more of an impact out of the bullpen moving forward. But, you know, he's certainly going to get an opportunity to stretch out and see what we have.
He's a tough kid. I really like him, spending the last two caravans with him on a personal level. I love his competitiveness and his outlook on sports in general. And so I think he's a nice piece for you. And then finally, you know, I am curious, and again, a lot of this has to do with what the roster looks like when you enter spring training, but I'll be interested to see what Sajacy's role is. He is a player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. His bat-to-ball skills, not to mention his probably learning ability defensively, Mo.
Well, he uses a lot of flexibility from a defensive standpoint, which is great. It's always nice to have that little Swiss Army knife on your roster. I think the big thing for him offensively is, you know, he's going to have to understand his strike zone, understand how to be selective, and can't be afraid to take a walk from time to time. So, yes, it will be fun to see how all that comes together, but we definitely think he has a lot of upside, and certainly looking forward to seeing how he used his offseason and where he's at physically when we see him in February.
Well, we'll look forward to staying in touch with you, and I know that you're always great about joining us on the show. Thank you so much for doing so. Stay warm today. We'll be in Jupiter before you know it.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, rejoining Sports on a Sunday morning. It's great to hear from him. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get a weather update from Scott Jagow, and then we will process all of this with Bernie Miklas. He joins us live at 11:45 on KMOX.
He hits a slammer! Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
There's a thumbs up for Kelly, one of our viewers. Kelly, thank you for all your great comments and all the comments, man. I'm reading them. I can see them right here in front of me. Some of them I actually don't want Drew to put up there. There are a couple of rough ones, not towards me. Thank you, Scott Jagow. Thank you, Bernie Miklas, for joining us. His visits are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. You need that heating today, my brother.
No doubt about it. So I can tell you with 100% certainty that the Miklas home is feeling nice and warm thanks to Saliga Heating and Cooling.
That a baby.
As always.
I love that. I had a circuit breaker go out yesterday that was linked to my furnace. I'm like, oh boy. So I had to quit. I took quick action and I had an electrician replace a breaker. Now I'm pretty good at plumbing. I'm pretty good with electric and furnace and things that break down in the house, but I couldn't figure this one out. So we had to move some things around in our breaker box to get this thing done. But our house is nice and toasty. We didn't lose any heat whatsoever.
You heard me chuckle because I was going to ask you, I wasn't laughing at you, but I was going to ask you, I said, are you Tom the handyman type, or you have to call people? See, I have to call people.
Well, I put in a new a sink for a new faucet for my mother-in-law yesterday. So I did.
I'm impressed.
I said that'll be $500. No. we got that done. So on that topic, let's reconstruct. Let's be handy men when it comes to the Cardinals. I just had John Mozeliak on. I thought he was very good. Of course, there's a lot of unknown right now, but he left it open. There are some moves to be made. He was honest about Arenado, that it's been very quiet. I think the possibility is there, Bernie, that he stays, a possibility that he stays. If that takes place, where do the Cardinals reduce salary? What do they do?
Well, first of all, I think to just throw this in, and I think most people know this already, but just to reset, as you suggested, you know, I think the Arenado future is going to be determined largely by what happens with Alex Bregman. For example, the Red Sox want Alex Bregman. Mm-hmm. If they don't get him, I could see them pivoting to Arenado. You know, Derek Gould, among others, has reported that the Cardinals have stayed in touch with the Red Sox or vice versa. So, but yeah, as the days and the weeks go by, I think there's less of a chance he'll get traded. But there's still a scenario or two out there that could still happen. So, but if they have to reduce salary because Arenado is going to be with them, you know, you look at the pitching staff. If you can offload Steven Matz and most of his $12.5 million salary, that would be one way to go. You could trade Eric Fetty. I think you could get a good return for him. Walk your starting pitcher at a 3.30 ERA last year. Really good pitcher. He'll be making $7.5 million next season, so they could subtract some there. I don't think they'll find a taker for Miles Michaelis and what he makes, and he's got a no-trade clause. I think Sonny Gray really wants to stay in St. Louis, and he's got a no-trade clause. So after that, I mean, does this influence their decision on what to do with Ryan Helsley? If they get a great offer from another team, do they decide, well, he'll make $7 or $8 million in arbitration? We can get something for him now. His value is really high. Something in return that we will really like. So it pains us to trade him, but it's probably best. So they could save some money that way too, but there aren't a lot of obvious candidates other than the people that I just mentioned.
It's interesting, isn't it? And as the Cardinals move forward, I mean, do you think that this team, do you see a scenario where they're a wild card contender? I don't know if they're a division contender, but can they make a postseason push, do you think?
Well, listen, and you know me, man, I play it down the middle from the terms of, you know, just being really straightforward. There are so many variables that go into that, and we don't have time to get into it now, but we can talk about it tomorrow on the Gas House Gang a little bit. But if you look at the Cardinals last season, you know, they won that Mother's Day game in Milwaukee, and from that point on, they really had an excellent record. And I know, listen, man, all games count, so it's not like you can just blow off their really poor start. But we saw them play good baseball, maybe more than we recognized at the time, and that's number one. And number two, I find it really hard to believe that they could be anywhere close to as bad with runners in scoring position, their batting performance, as they were last year. And without boring the audience or you, I have some numbers on that. The Cardinals, you know, actually, with runners in scoring position, actually hit the ball really hard. They hit a lot of line drives. They hit a lot of shots that, you know, the defense caught. And people don't want to hear that, but I'm just telling you, with better batted ball luck with runners in scoring position, and they're overdue for that, they should be a lot better in that area next season. And if offense is still the biggest concern, I could see reasons why this offense would take off a bit. It'd be tough to be worse than they were last year. So, but it's hard to say this because we don't know whether, as we said, Arenado will be back. And if he's not back, does that mean they subtract from their pitching staff? Does it, they subtract a starting pitcher or two? Do they trade Helsley? And that could all obviously affect the course of the season. So, but the offense will be a big key for sure, because you just can't really go very far with an offense that was as lousy as the one last season.
Bernie, just a few minutes left. Let me close with this, and we can talk about Mizzou basketball, SLU basketball, Blues hockey, Illinois basketball, all these things that are going on. It's so much fun to bounce around to all these things. But I do like Sunday nights, even without an NFL team here anymore. I love Sunday night football. It's just a great way to close the weekend. It's the one game that I actually do pay attention to, and tonight is an absolute dandy. I mean, the Vikings at the Lions is awesome. So 14-2, champion gets home field throughout the NFC playoffs. Who you like tonight?
You know, I've been going back and forth the entire time. And the other day, I was leaning towards Minnesota, but I've been reading some stuff. And Detroit is really, really banged up, as we all know. They've had so many injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And they're much more vulnerable to giving up a lot of points than they were for most of the season. But I look at the line, for example. You know, Detroit is a three-point favorite at home. I have a system where, you know, I kind of grade like point spreads, things like that. And this, you know, betting on Detroit or Detroit just winning the game actually looks like a really good value bet. And I just think Detroit at home is going to be really tough to beat. I mean, it's like trying to get past a bunch of attack dogs at the gate, you know. It's I think the thing to watch, though, is Minnesota's defense. And we all know that Minnesota with their quarterback and Justin Jefferson have had a great year. But I think the Minnesota defense is what makes this thing potentially special. Brian Flores, with his blitz packages and the way he shifts his players around, the quarterback never knows where the pressure is going to come from. That's what I would watch tonight. But I'm going to give Detroit the respect of just not thinking they'll lose at home. But this one could go either way, to say the least.
It'll be a great one. Fire in the fireplace, adult beverage. I'm talking about myself, of course. That's what I'll be doing, enjoying that one and making sure that I pay attention to the next Bernie Show post on YouTube, because it's an absolute must subscribe. And then, of course, tomorrow, the four of us, we'll be getting together for the Gas House Gang on the KMOX Sports YouTube page, so it'll be great. Bernie, have a great rest of your Sunday. Thanks, as always, for carving out some time for us on KMOX.
I love it, Tom. Everybody stay warm, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Gas House Gang, noon Central Time in St. Louis.
The news is next.